Welcome, everybody, to the Sleeper Wire Show. I am your host, Dirty Jobs Mike, and guys, we have a big show tonight. We have a special guest with us, Marcus Grant. Marcus Grant, how are we doing this evening?
Dude, it's great to be back. I always appreciate when you guys remember me and ask me to come back on the show.
I think, is this your fifth time on now?
I think so. I don't know. I know Hoos always gives me a hard saying I should have one of those like velvet jackets like Steve Martin has for hosting SNL like a million times. So like whenever you guys want to send me one, I'm like, I think I'm a 42 regular.
There you go. There you go. I think you at least deserve one at this point in time because of all the times you've been on. And it's always nice having you on, man. I think this is the third time me and you have been on together, and every time's a good time. We also have with us, we've got E. Sorbor, we got Rob Rose. How's it going, brother?
It's fantastic, and it's great to be a part of this fun show. Marcus, this is going to be a blast, and just happy to be on a Sleepwire show on a Friday night. Let's get this thing done, man.
Heck yeah. Well, we're actually not going to talk football just right away. We just have a few random questions that we all wanted to ask Marcus Grant. We got together with hey, what kind of questions do you guys want to ask this guy? And the very first one I thought was pretty dang relevant. You've been with 11 years with NFL.com. What's that been like, man? That's how, you know, that's the dream for most of us, right?
It's wild. This is the longest I've ever been at any one job in my entire life. In fact, I think before this, I don't think I'd ever been at a single job for more than like 4 years. So this has been sort of wild. Especially cause I never anticipated being here. I've enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun, but I never planned on this. I spent a lot of time in radio, and I just remember once after having lost my radio gig and sort of being unemployed or underemployed, and out restless one night, just went for a walk around my neighborhood and just kind of walked past the NFL Network studios and just thought to myself, huh, I wonder what it's like to work in there. And then like 6 months later, I get hired. And I've been there ever since. And so it's been a wild ride. It's been a lot of fun. I've met a lot of cool people, both inside and outside the building. This has allowed me to meet a lot of really fun people. And, who knows what happens next for me, but this has been a really, really interesting decade at the NFL.
Before you were involved with, sports talk radio and play by play, you know, how was that experience?
That was really cool. I had decided, early on in my, so obviously this, when I was in high school, I thought I was just going to do like hard, straight news. Like I thought I was going to be, you know, a network news anchor. I thought that was going to be my destiny. And then I got to college and I did student radio and, did sports there. And I was like, hey, this is like fun and easy. Cause this is like what I do with my friends anyway. I sit around and talk about sports. And so, really love doing the play by play stuff. I did two seasons of minor league baseball, which really was kind of a dream in a lot of ways. It's, obviously you get to spend every day watching baseball at the end of the day, right? And like, that's the gig. It's not lucrative. It's not stable, but at least for those 2 years, it was kind of fun driving up and down the freeways of California on a bus with like 30 other guys. That part was fun. And just, I just love radio. It's probably why I've kind of taken to podcasting so much. Cause I like the medium. I like being able to do it. I like sort of, it has the immediacy of television, but sort of the expansiveness of print. It's kind of the best of both worlds. So just doing that was a whole lot of fun, and spending a lot of time in radio was a lot of fun. Again, like play by play, not lucrative, not stable, but it's creative and it's fun.
That's awesome, man.
That's great, because that's something I want to get into as well. So it's cool to know that there is like paths to transition from media into media. Where your bio says you're still trying to figure out what you want to do when you grow up. So if you grow up, are you leaning towards comics or sticking with sports?
I think at some point I do want to try my hand kind of in other forms. So I think I have some ideas kicking around for like a comic book. I'm working on and maybe doing like some TV pilots, just kind of veering more in that direction. If there's a way I can sort of transition, if I can kind of go from being The Rock to Dwayne Johnson, right? Because he made that transition. He went from like The Rock, then he was Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and now he just shows up in movies as Dwayne Johnson, right? So if I can sort of make that subtle transition from being like, you know, the fantasy football guy to just a general entertainment comic book, whatever guy. I think that would be great.
I think you can do it, man. You got the personality for it for sure.
Oh, thanks.
Okay. Well, so now you were in the Pro-Am again last year with us. How did you do last year? I think you were in Hoosier League, weren't you?
Yeah, I was much better this. So 2 years ago was a train wreck. This past year, I was definitely a lot better. I was definitely more in contention. I started really hot. And then my team sort of faded near the end. I think I snuck into the playoffs. I don't think I lasted very long once I got there, but, it was definitely a vast improvement over the previous year where I don't remember how many games I won, but I'm pretty sure I could count them on one hand. So this was definitely a big step in the right direction.
The one thing I can actually claim fame to is that I've beat Matt Harmon 2 years in a row. That's
there you go.
Yeah, so he's in my league every single year, and I actually tore him up this year. I actually did pretty good in my Pro-Am, but then I was out fishing when they came out with the David Njoku news. And I had him in my lineup, and I lost that game by 0.4, and I would have won the championship by like 55 points, but I could have and should have one of those things. You know how that goes.
Right.
And one last thing, how much time do you spend playing your Atari 2600?
You know, lately, not much, partially because, you know, having a kid doesn't really allow for that kind of time to sit around and do it. I also actually, at this moment, I think it's in a box somewhere. So, like, I have it. It's one of those things where, like, it's fun to do late at night after you maybe had a couple of beers or whatever, and then you throw in like Pac-Man or Turmoil or some of like old school games. But I've also found that like the novelty of it wears off fairly quick nowadays. Just, you know, I guess we've become used to like all these like graphics and all this extra speed. So like, you know, plugging around playing combat does not have the same appeal that it did when I was like, you know, 6 or 7.
Right, yeah, I think I feel the same way. I was playing some Mario the other day, and I was like, man, this is awesome. And about 10 minutes later, I'm like, okay, this isn't really
right.
Go back to some Modern Warfare. Do you play any games now, any video games at all?
Not really, not as much as I used to. Every now and then I'll throw on Madden or something like that, and then I realize that it's been so long since I've played that I'm awful at it, and so that. I tried Overwatch for like a couple of weeks, and I was pretty terrible at that too. So I think my days as a gamer are pretty much at an end at this point. Like, I don't mind watching folks play. Like, I watch the Overwatch League, and I've watched some of the Madden stuff. And I'm just like, I'm impressed at where esports has gone and like what it can potentially be. But I think my personal days as a gamer are probably over now.
So when you get on there on Madden, are you like, hey, by the way, this is Marcus Grant from NFL?
Oh no! I don't want anybody to know, because like, I'm gonna get boat raced. I'm not trying to tell people who I am.
Oh, that's awesome.
Madden kicks my ass these days. I am nowhere near what I used to be in Madden 95, 96. You know, the OG days.
Right, the OG days, like back when I was playing, like still playing like NHL 94 and 95, and like, you know, running through people with the Maple Leafs and stuff. You know.
Yes. Oh man. That is so awesome. That brings me back.
Well, we're going to go ahead and shift gears, guys. Let's go ahead and talk a little football here, I guess. I mean, since we've got you on here all this time. And the first thing we're going to go ahead and talk about is the favorite landing spots for some free agents out there. And, man, there's some pretty big free agent names out there. We're going to kick off the list with A.J. Green. So what do you think? Where do you think A.J. Green's going to go? Do you think he's going to stay there in Cincinnati?
I think he's staying in Cincinnati. It was just so weird the way the Bengals handled that all season long, right? Where every week it was like, hey, A.J. Green could be back soon. He might possibly practice. He showed up at the facility today and put on some shoes. And they just kind of dragged that out. And then finally it was like week 17. They're like, hey, we're putting A.J. Green on IR. And the rest of us were like, what took you so long? So that was just bizarre. But at the same time, he hasn't made any rumblings about really wanting to go anywhere. And you know, maybe this situation where it looks very much like they're going to draft Joe Burrow, number one overall, hope that he's their quarterback of the future. I think that maybe gives him a little more reason to stick around and stay in Cincinnati. You know, if he would leave, You know, everybody says New England, and that would be a great fit because they could use the wide receiver help. But something leads me to believe he's probably going to be a Bengal next year.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I think that he, I just don't know. I don't really see him playing for any other team. I don't really see him getting much money for, I mean, if you look at his output, I mean, last year, obviously, that was bad, man. I hated having AJ Green, and I bashed him on almost, I'm like, I got AJ Green in the sixth round. Count me in. I love him all season, and that's exactly what I ended up doing. That's probably why I had an unsuccessful fantasy year this year. I don't see him in anywhere else. What do you think, Rob?
I don't know that I was ready for you to say you think he's going to stay in Cincinnati. but at the same time, you answered the question that I wanted to ask, which has he been rumbling at all? Is he saying, I want to go somewhere? And if he's not, I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't think he's going to take a discount. I don't think they would let him go to some place without at least giving him an offer. I at least think he, you know, if he wants to stay there, they should make him an offer that'll give him, you know, the ability to. But he's getting kind of, he's getting a little older. He's injury prone, and he needs some guaranteed money.
Yeah, I haven't heard him say anything, but then again, it's also probably fair to note that AJ Green in his career has never been, you know, he's not an Odell Beckham who's just going to tell you what's on his mind. You know, he tends to be a quieter guy. I can't think of any times during his career that AJ Green has kind of gone out and, you know, and railed on things through the media or been like a really outspoken guy. So, I mean, maybe he has other intentions, but he just has not, I haven't heard him communicate anything publicly.
Yeah, that's what I was really wondering about is where he's at. Like, what has he said? And I guess because I haven't heard any rumblings myself, not that I would hear anything from anybody. I guess staying in Cincinnati sounds a lot more feasible now.
Okay, the next guy we're going to talk about is Drew Brees, and another guy that I feel like he's not going anywhere. What do you think, Marcus?
No, he's not. In fact, he already said, I think a couple weeks ago, he said either I'm coming back to New Orleans or I'm retiring. I mean, he's pretty much put that out there that those are the only two options for him this offseason. So I think he's going to give it one more shot. You know, the Saints have been so close and making their Super Bowl runs. I mean, obviously 2 years ago, they were a missed call away from going to the Super Bowl against the Rams. You know, this past year, obviously they end up losing a little early, but I think he comes back, tries to give at least one more shot. They've got all the pieces in place. So I would expect that he's going to be a Saint next year.
Yeah, nope, I completely agree with that. I don't really see the Saints doing too much different because you're right. They've just done so much. They've gotten so close. They're just such a good team. It's kind of crazy they can't close the deal, but then there are a lot of good NFC teams out there. They always seem to lose to the ones you don't expect them to, though, in the playoffs or in this call. What do you think, Rob? Do you think he's staying home? Do you think he's going
somewhere?
Yeah,
I don't think there's a chance Drew Brees plays anywhere other than the New Orleans Saints. I think he'd retire before he would go anywhere else at this point in his career. It's what's where he's made his bones. So him and Sean Payton are an absolute force to be reckoned with. He hasn't suffered any crazy head injuries as of late. He really only had the shoulder injury and then the thumb injury recently. So unless I'm missing an ACL tear in there somewhere or anything like that, he's remained fairly healthy for the last decade.
Yeah, he's amazing. Yep. He's resilient. He's just a great quarterback. I hope he does give us one more year. I hope the Saints sign him up. I really think that I like Teddy Bridgewater. I just don't really see him being the caliber that they need him to be. And I feel like Drew Brees has got 1 year left in him. We got Amari Cooper, and we'll just go ahead and sandwich him with Dak Prescott. These are another two guys that are free agents this year. I think Dallas might let go of Amari, but they're definitely not going to get rid of Dak Prescott.
Yeah, they can't get rid of Dak. I mean, finding a quality quarterback is so hard to do. And I think what Dak showed this past year is that he can be the guy that leads that offense. And I think they'd be crazy to let him walk out of there. You know, he's going to command big dollars, especially with all the other quarterback names on the market. He's one of the younger ones out there. So I expect that he's going to command good money, and he's going to stay in Dallas. you know, for Amari, I mean, again, it seems like Dallas is a really nice fit for him, but there are teams out there that are looking for wide receiver help. The Patriots are kind of chief among them. I mean, you know, they look, Julian Edelman isn't going to last forever. I know they were hoping, they're still hoping that N'Keal Harry can come around and be something productive. I don't know what Jacoby Myers' future is going to be there, but yeah, I could see, you know, the Patriots making a run at him. I could see potentially, you know, even the Eagles, they maybe if they want to kind of pull somebody from their own division and go after him, the Eagles could use some wide receiver help because, you know, who knows what happens with DeSean Jackson. Alshon Jeffrey has struggled to stay healthy. We just didn't see a lot from J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. So, you know, I think the Eagles put him there with Carson Wentz, with Miles Sanders in the backfield. You know, Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert, you put Amari Cooper in there, that offense is scary.
That would be a perfect fit right there as well. I think he actually fits in better there than he does in Dallas because Gallup is just so good at what he does, and I feel like he's taken over that position and kind of making Amari Cooper irrelevant. What do you think, Rob? Do you think any of these guys go anywhere?
I think they're going to franchise Dak. And honestly, I kind of like Philadelphia as a landing spot for Amari Cooper. Like you guys said, there's been a lot of problems there. I think the Patriots would be willing to pay big money, and it's a winning system. You know that you're going to have a chance to go far into the playoffs and probably get to the Super Bowl. You have one of the greatest pass throwers to play the game as your quarterback. So it would be attractive. It probably wouldn't be the biggest money option for Amari, though. I think other teams might be able to tempt him with a little bit more. But what's more important at this point in your career, Amari, making money or winning a championship? So I'll go with the Eagles there. I like that. I like that a lot. Sounds good.
Yeah, I haven't really ever thought about Amari Cooper being anywhere but Dallas because of how much I like him with Dak Prescott. But at the same time, I think he could go there and do some damage. What do you guys think about Tom Brady? Do you think Tom Brady is going to be a Patriot? I've heard a lot of crazy things like, oh, he's going to be a Dolphin. Oh, he's going to be a Titan. He's going to be a Colt. I think he stays a Patriot, or he's another guy who just says, I'm
not. Yeah, I don't think he's going to retire yet. I think he still wants to play a little bit more. And I just think if you're Tom Brady and you decide to leave New England, it's got to be for a ready-made Super Bowl situation, right? Like, you want to walk into a team that can compete right now and be a legit contender. I mean, you're 42 years old. You don't want to spend a couple of years as part of a rebuilding project because you just don't have time like that, right? Like, your career is pretty much near its end. I had heard some rumblings about maybe the Niners swing a deal and maybe they send Garoppolo back to New England. I'm like, that doesn't really make sense for the 49ers because the Niners are sort of set up to be competitive for a while. So why would you want a quarterback that's only going to be there for a year or two? I don't really buy into this whole Charger thing. That was the big rumor that they want to bring him in to try to sell tickets. Look, I live in Los Angeles. The one thing I can tell you is that what sells tickets is building a winning team. It's not like people in LA want to come out just to see star power. I mean, like, you know, you go to the mall, there are places you go and you can see actual celebrities. So like, paying money to see Tom Brady is not necessarily going to be a draw if the team's not very good. The other part of this is, I think Robert Kraft just doesn't want to see Tom Brady finish his career in another uniform. I think Bill Belichick would be perfectly fine to kind of move on and try something else at quarterback. But Robert Kraft signs the checks, and he loves Tom Brady. He understands what Brady has meant to this franchise for the last two decades. And I just think Robert Kraft is going to do everything in his power to make sure that Tom Brady starts and ends his career as a New England Patriot.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And I heard a number that they were offering him like 30 mil plus, and Tom Brady in true Tom Brady fashion, rubber baby bubby bump. Nope. Tom Brady fashion. He is just saying, no, don't pay me that much. Get weapons, get people for me to throw the ball to. Let's make this team run as the machine as it should. And I've always appreciated that about Tom Brady. It's never been fully about money to him. He is trying to put together a winning squad. And I agree with you guys. I don't think he'd ever play in a uniform other than a Patriots jersey. So
you can also be magnanimous like that with your contracts when your wife is a, you know, Brazilian supermodel that makes even more money than you do.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a pretty rough life, I think, the old Tom Brady experience. I think that'd be some rough stuff there that guy'd have to deal with. What about Ryan Tannehill? Did he do enough to get the job done to where they were going to bring him back into Tennessee again next year?
I think Tennessee would be crazy to let him get out of there after what he did. Look, that team gets nowhere near the playoffs period, let alone the AFC championship game. If Ryan Tannehill is not the quarterback there. So I think the Titans would be crazy to let him get out of town. Look, do I think that all of a sudden he's turned a corner and he is this elite level quarterback? No. I think he found a nice system. He had a really great year. Kudos to him for that. But I think at some point we've also sort of seen this movie with Ryan Tannehill. And I think what we saw from him this past year was kind of his ceiling, but that was good enough. If they can keep Derrick Henry in town, they can build with what we saw with AJ Brown this past year. I mean, there is reason to be excited about what the Titans do. I can't even think of another place Ryan Tannehill would go where you'd be excited about what he could potentially offer you.
Yeah, nope, I completely agree with that. I mean, I really feel like he fit in. Like, I feel like he finally got his groove going and everything like that. But the one thing that guy is good at to me is, I mean, because he had some flashes with Miami, you know, that passed the eye test where it made you kind of want to draft the guy the next year. And I don't know, I'm going to probably just proceed with caution with that guy next year. If he's a Tennessee Titan and everything like that, I think I might try to I might try to avoid him, even though he looks so good. And that's such a good system and such a good workable system. It's just I feel like Ryan Tannehill's burnt me way too many times. What about you, Rob? What do you think about
that? For me, Ryan Tannehill is the reason we take quarterbacks late in draft season. So I love what Ryan Tannehill did this year, but that's going to rush his ADP up there, probably somewhere close to Lamar Jackson. And I'm not spending high draft capital on anybody like that. It just isn't good. And Tannehill, I think, is definitely going to stay there. And I think it's a great system. He's got good weapons. AJ Brown, Derrick Henry is an absolute animal. And I think he stays there as well. But I don't think that there's going to be any place else that's going to benefit Tannehill the way that riding the wave that he's currently on is. He's not dealing with Adam Gase in Miami, so I don't think that the success is going to be unrepeatable. I think they have solid coaching there in Tennessee. So as long as they keep the offensive machine moving well, I think they're going to do well with Ryan Tannehill, but I don't think he's going to be worth anywhere close to the ADP that he ends up with by the third week of the preseason.
Okay, so the next guy up we got is Robbie Anderson. Now, this guy, I feel like he could go to quite a few places and actually make an immediate impact. Is that guy that's going to get down the field, score that quick touchdown for you in a game. What do you think? Do you think he's going anywhere? Do you think he's staying in?
No, I imagine he's going to go somewhere. I can't imagine he sticks around with the Jets. I talked about Amari Cooper going to Philadelphia. I think Robbie Anderson going to Philly, he gives them a cheaper option there, but it's still a guy who can sort of stretch the field and open some things up. Because, again, I don't know what becomes of DeSean Jackson after he pretty much missed almost the entire year with injury, a guy who's getting a little bit older and later in his career too. So Robbie Anderson could go and kind of be that lid lifter on the offense there in Philly. I mean, the Patriots continue to be a possibility because they need wide receiver help. It'd be interesting to see what happens, if he could fit in, say, in a place like Baltimore. I mean, I know they've got speed there with Marquise Brown. But I think if the one thing we saw for as great as – I think Rob kind of liked that too. I think the one thing we saw for as great as Lamar Jackson was they didn't have any real weapons at the wide receiver position, right? Marquise Brown was really hit or miss. Their best weapon in the passing game was their tight end Mark Andrews. So maybe Robbie Anderson in Baltimore could be a good fit.
That's exactly where I was going with that, and people accuse me of being a homer because I'm a Ravens fan. I grew up in Baltimore, but that would make that that dangerous offense just out of control. That would give you almost a Chiefs offense with the speed, having Marquise Brown and Robbie Anderson on either side, Mark Andrews to go up the middle. those guys would be real good at that point. But there's other teams. I can't imagine he would be bad on the Patriots either. Philip Dorsett looked all right, but he kind of came and went and wasn't super consistent. And I think Robbie Anderson with a consistent quarterback, we saw what he can do with Sam Darnold when those two really start to link up. But it seems like it always happens late in the year. You never get what you've really paid for as far as draft capital out of Robbie. And I think if he can land with a more consistent offense and quarterback, the dude could absolutely be a wide receiver, high wide receiver two, maybe even a wide receiver one. But he's got to be consistent throughout the season. He can't show up for six games and put up great numbers for that. And that's what we base his finish on. So I would like to see him get with somebody consistent, but the Ravens would be a match made in heaven. I think the speed there is just too good.
Yep. Nope. I think that would actually be a really good fit in Baltimore. I think opposite Marquise Brown, that is actually pretty nasty. I don't know if Lamar Jackson's got the arm to get it up. Just kidding. Devin saying he's got a good arm. I just love how everybody didn't. What about Jameis Winston? I'm from Tampa, and I feel like I'm going to be living in Tampa alone without Jameis next year. What do you guys think? I think he goes to San Diego, or I'm sorry, Los Angeles. I think he's.
You know, Jameis in LA would be interesting, right? I mean, you put him there. They've got Keenan Allen. They've got Hunter Henry. They've got Austin Eckler, who can catch the ball out of the backfield. I mean, Jameis would be interesting. At this point, like, I don't think Jameis can be fixed, right? I mean, if Bruce Arians couldn't fix him, I mean, like, he gets with Bruce Arians, noted quarterback whisperer, and he becomes the first 30-30 guy in the history of NFL quarterbacks. So at this point, I feel like Jameis is just who Jameis is, and that's something you've got to live with. I think for that reason, that's probably what gets him out of Tampa at this point. Like, they've seen enough. I don't think they need to see any more of him in Tampa. So maybe the Chargers would be an interesting fit for him because it appears that they've moved on from Phillip Rivers. I don't know that they want to hand the job to Tyrod Taylor right now. So I never really thought about that, but that could be interesting. You just know that you've got to live with, you know, 20 interceptions at least a year. You may get the 30 touchdowns. You may get the 4,500 passing yards. You just got to live with those turnovers and hope that you know, the rest of your offense or that your defense can sort of bail you out.
I mean, you feel like Phillip Rivers.
Kind of That's true. That's fair.
Right? He had his big games like that. What do you think?
I like LA, actually. That I hadn't, like Marcus, I hadn't thought about that until you said it. But the one thing with Jameis Winston for me is consistently poor decision-making skills. And it's not just off the field. It's not just on the field. It seems to be in every aspect of his life that he just is consistently making poor decisions. And I think it's going to be hard to sell a GM on all of that. I'm sure he's going to want to get paid, but going 30 for 30 is not a milestone that you would aspire to achieve as a quarterback. Like, I'm waiting for the 30 for 30 on the 30 for 30 season that we'll probably get sometime in the near future. But I think LA would be the best chance he has. They have weapons. They have a good run game. And they have a good tight end. Now, Hunter Henry's also another free agent. And if he stays there and Jameis Winston ends up there, I think that offense could come back to what it looked like two seasons ago.
I'll throw one out just to be devil's advocate. What about Indianapolis? They don't seem sold on Jacoby Ooh. Brissett there. You know, you get T.Y. Hilton back and healthy again. Their wide receiver core just got Thanos'd this past year, right? Like, somebody snapped their fingers and all their wide receivers just disappeared, right? So you get those wide receivers back and healthy again this year, and you put Jameis in there. I mean, that because look, Jameis, man, he throws D-gaff balls, right? Just YOLO balls, does not care. You know, and you get him some pass catchers, that could be interesting.
Yeah, that could make Paris Campbell extremely dangerous if you give somebody like Jameis Winston the ball in Indy. Yeah. That would be a great spot.
Yeah, that's another great landing spot. And I agree. I don't think that they're stuck on Jacoby Brissett at all because he just didn't seem like he was doing as good as he could have done. I mean, you know, you're sitting there expecting Andrew Luck and everything like that, and Jacoby really came out looking pretty good. And then he just kind of stopped.
He was fine. I mean, sure, he was just fine, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. He just wasn't like T.Y. Hilton. I mean, they've got a lot of good weapons on that team that you can utilize. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like that would be a great landing spot for him, too. Oh, we were talking about the Chargers there. Let's talk about Melvin Gordon. Where's Melvin Gordon going to go? I know he's definitely not going to stay in Los Angeles, right?
He's out. I mean, after he held out and Austin Eckler played as well as he did, I think the Chargers are thrown out. They're like, oh, yeah, we can roll with this guy, and it's going to be a lot cheaper for us. So I think Melvin Gordon is done. The first place that comes to mind for me is Houston. To put him back there, have him work behind Deshaun Watson, have him with DeAndre Hopkins. You know, I don't know if the Texans want to go out and pay that kind of money. Although, you know, hey, look, man, Bill O'Brien has like ultimate power there now. Like, you know, he's like coach, GM, emperor emeritus. Like basically he does everything there short of sell popcorn. Maybe he'll pay the money for Melvin Gordon, but they could use Carlos Hyde was fine. Duke Johnson was fine. But I think Melvin Gordon is probably better than both of those guys. And I think he'd be an interesting fit there.
Yeah, I would love to see Melvin Gordon with Deshaun Watson. I think that could be absolutely devastating. And they have some serious weapons that if Will Fuller could ever stay healthy for a full season, the dude would be probably top five wide receiver. But clearly that just can't happen. It's not possible. So I think Melvin Gordon could actually, I mean, if they had a true run game, because Carlos Hyde, like you said, he was okay. He was pretty good. There's some games where he's like, man, yeah, that guy was cool. Yeah. But you're not going to get RB1 numbers, true RB1 numbers or performances out of Duke Johnson or Carlos Hyde at this point. And Melvin Gordon is far superior to both of them. But who in the hell decided Bill O'Brien is the Fuhrer of the Texans? I don't understand how he – like, they already made a comment that there is no – they won't be hiring a GM.
No, he is basically the GM. I don't know how, but he won the Game of Thrones there in Houston. I don't know. I don't know how it happened, but now he's sitting on the Iron Throne there and he gets to do whatever he wants, which, you know, I guess if I blow a 24-0 lead in the playoffs, maybe I can ask for a raise too.
Yeah.
And a promotion and everything. Like a bandit. What was your best call this season?
Oh, man, well, I guess what am I thinking about? Like, I was the one who, you know, in the off season last year, I kind of started carrying the banner for Christian McCaffrey as the number one overall pick, and I originally started it just because I wanted to have a talking point. I just wanted to, you know, like I felt like it was going to be a boring summer if we all just went around saying, "Yeah, Saquon's the number one." The end. Like, I want at least to be a discussion point, so I started the whole Christian McCaffrey for the 1.01, and then. The more I really thought about it, the more I dug into it, the more I really believe that Christian McCaffrey should have been the number one overall pick. And in every league where I had number one, I took Christian McCaffrey. And I guess that sort of worked out, you know?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Do you think he's going to be number one again this year?
Well,
carry over?
Right now, I don't have a really strong objection. I don't have a really strong alternative. I thought maybe Dalvin Cook could potentially challenge for that because I think that's possible. I mean, like I fall back on what a wise man, Bob Harris, who is one of the really smart people in this industry and just a really good guy. One of his mottos is always don't draft last year's best team. And so that kind of leads me to think that maybe there's somebody else out there. And I guess if I had to pick one, I mean, Dalvin Cook, although, you know, it wouldn't be a surprise if Saquon comes back and reclaims his crown next year either.
Yeah, that injury really marred his season.
And he's going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder next year. But I mean, really, I feel like I just kept telling myself that every week and daily. Like, oh, I won't play Christian McCaffrey. He's got to slow down one of these weeks. And gosh,
Christian McCaffrey had a game this year. He had a week this year where he didn't score a touchdown and he still scored 30 points. Like, that's ridiculous.
It's amazing, yeah. He's just something else. That is a good call, though. I definitely was on the Saquon number one, and I paid for it. Like I said, it was a bad year for me this year. Anything in particular you won't be doing next year as a result of this year?
You know what? I don't I feel like I'm not going to wait on a tight end, you know? Like, I feel like the last couple of years we keep talking ourselves into this idea that tight end is going to be deeper. And like, we keep naming up, well, this guy's back and this guy's going to be better and blah, blah, blah. And I went through it and I looked and I'm like, I feel like best case scenario, right? There are 10 to 12 viable tight ends, like viable, not even like great. You have your elite guys, you got your Kelce's and Kittle's, your top tier guys, you know, throw in next, like, you know, Ertz, Waller, whomever. There are like 10 to 12 viable guys, which means that if you're playing in a 12 team league, that ideally is one for everybody. But then you got to throw in the fact that somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's just going to underperform. And all of a sudden, you know, that those 10 to 12 guys maybe become like, you know, 6 to 8, 7 to 9 guys. And so that means that a handful of people are going to be back in that same motion of scrambling, of trying to find somebody off the waiver wire, trying to make trades. And even then, you know, again, outside of your elite guys, you'll have a bunch of guys that are in the middle that, you know, that's even the worst, to be stuck in like tight end purgatory, right? Where you have a guy who gets you, you know, maybe every once in a while he goes off for 12 or 15 points, but then most of the time he's hanging around like 4 or 6 or 7 points. And it's just like, it's not enough to help you win the week, but it's not bad enough that you're just going to punt him to the waiver wire. So I think this year I might make the change, and I may make the move to like reach early for a Kittle or a Kelce, just so I know that week in, week out, I can feel comfortable with who I have in my tight end spot.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at the points coming from the position, I mean, you don't get them very often. You get that 3 for 33.
Right.
Like, and that's a tight end that's out there. And yeah, so you get the 6.3 points or whatever, and you're like, yes, and they score a touchdown, and you start thinking, yeah, this guy's elite, you know, but he gets you 13 points, and that's acceptable. But yeah, no, that's something I kind of think too. There's also a few quarterbacks that, like, I might just wait on next year, just because, man, going early for a quarterback, I just keep on somehow doing that in a few leagues, and I don't know why. It's like a compulsive thing. I would say this
when it comes to quarterbacks this year, one thing I said last year is like, if you're gonna go for a quarterback early, like, get the right one. You know, like, that's a lot easier said than done. But I do think the thing that everybody's going to want this year is, or what we're gonna pay more attention to this year, will be quarterback rushing yards, right? I mean, obviously not everybody is Lamar Jackson, who's gonna run for 1,000, 1,100 yards, whatever it is, but you know, you want guys who can move. So that means, like, Kyler Murray is already getting overvalued. I blame myself because I've been talking about him for the last few weeks. So, like, sorry about that. But, you know, like, literally, you know, Josh Allen, part of why he is so valuable is because he can run with the football. Kyler Murray is going to be one. Patrick Mahomes, look, if what we saw from Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs is what's to come, I mean, there were a couple of those playoff games where he was the Chiefs' leading rusher, where he had like 50, 60 yards on the ground. If he's going to be that guy every week, then he has a skyrocketing value. So I do think even when you are waiting on a quarterback, it's going to be important to kind of look at those quarterback rushing numbers and see what you can get from that guy.
Absolutely. Rob, what about you? What are some takeaways you had from this year that you're not going to do next year?
One thing I'm not going to try is a zero running back strategy. So now, of course, the Super Bowl featured two undrafted running backs that, you know, came in and really showed what you can do with a zero running back strategy. But neither of those guys will be available to that after this year. And that usually is the worst. Like, if I draft a wide receiver because I'm in the back half of a first round, I start with a top wide receiver, I got to get a tight end, because at this point you got to have pass catchers, and then trying to wait too long on a running back. And I gambled a few times, waited until like the seventh round, and that was hot garbage.
hot garbage. So who you guys see as maybe this year, we got a pretty big draft coming in 2020, man. This class coming out has a lot of talent coming up. But I know a lot of this stuff, I always feel like I get bitten by the rookie bug, and I end up getting too many rookies on my team and stuff like that. And very, very rarely does a rookie come in there and make an impact. Do we have any players this year that you've got targeted for next year that you think are going to come out and make that Ezekiel Elliott, boom, I'm on the field making 16 to 20 points a game out there?
the name that immediately comes to mind for me, because I think it's, you know, it depends on where guys go, obviously, but the name that immediately comes to mind is Jonathan Taylor, the running back out of Wisconsin, who I loved watching this past year. I thought he was fantastic. This you know, this is going to be an interesting wide receiver class, because this is as deep a wide receiver class as we've seen in a long time, which I think is interesting, because I felt like last year we sort of looked at the wide receivers and thought, I mean, they're fine, they'll be okay, there's maybe one or two decent guys, and it ended up being a really deep class of rookie wide receivers. So this year, like, the bar has been set, right? When you've got guys like, you know, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, you know, I'm a USC guy, so I'm partial to Michael Pittman Jr. I'm curious to see where he goes. But this is a really deep wide receiver class. So I think those are going to be the guys that make kind of an impact early on. You know, we'll see what happens with the quarterbacks. You know, I mean, you know, Burrow will have an opportunity, I think, to start week one. But yeah, we'll see where Tua Tagovailoa ends up and whether or not he's going to be able to play this year. We'll see what happens with Justin Herbert. I know Jordan Love from Utah, I think, is getting a little more attention right now. So there are some guys out there, but like I said, the first name that jumps into my head is Jonathan Taylor, because I just loved him at Wisconsin, and I'm curious to see where he fits in the NFL.
I like that a lot, actually. That's another guy I've been tracking and hoping that a lot of people, because you've got so much quarterback attention that if, I don't know, I got a lot of dynasty rookie drafts coming up, and I'm able to get him a little bit later than a guy should be able to get him, and I'm kind of getting excited about it. So I'm liking that for the draft. I mean, and even though we haven't even had the combine yet, you know, I don't know why we're doing these. But we're gluttons for punishment, and we love drafting. What about you, Rob? Who are you thinking? Who do you like in this draft?
Okay, so this is because Colorado has been putting out just amazing wide receivers last little while. Michael Gallup, and I'm forgetting the name that came before him, but I know Gallup is one of the more recents, and that's Laviska Shenault. Mm-hmm. I think he's got the skill set to come in and be good, but like you said, Marcus, it really depends on where he ends up. But if you get him to the right team, I think he can make an immediate impact and be both a playmaker and a chain mover.
See, and the guy I've been really keeping my eye on is CeeDee Lamb. I really feel like he's going to be a Bronco. I feel like you couple him with Courtland Sutton, and then you got Locke in there. Like, he's starting to look pretty good, you know, towards the end of the season. Like, at least starting to go through some of the mechanics that you look for out of a quarterback early on. I don't think he's going to come out there and just be this great thing or anything like that, but I think he'll be an adequate, serviceable quarterback. And seeing him on the other side with Courtland Sutton out there, I think that could also be one of those immediate impact type players.
I'm a sucker for bad puns, and I don't know who it was on Twitter, but somebody suggested that whoever drafts CeeDee Lamb should also sign Antonio Brown so their wide receivers can be A, B, C, D.
I do like that.
That is awesome. Well, hey, well, where can they find you now, Marcus? What are you doing on the off season? Do you do? You guys still do the fantasy football show during the?
We're not on the NFL Network. We're done. The TV show is done probably until, you know, next August or September. But we're still doing a podcast. Now that we're in the off season, we're down to once a week doing that pod, but you can find us, you know, wherever you find things to put in your ear holes, audio wise. I wouldn't recommend just jabbing things in your ears. But wherever you find audio goodness to put in your ears, you can find the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. And then me personally, you just find me on Twitter at Marcus G, MarcasG.
That is excellent. And Rob, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you too?
Well, you can find us on the Sleeper Wire series. We have another one coming out with the Blitz crew, and that will be Players I'd Like to Have a Beer With. We'll be recording that next first episode next week. And we're excited for that one. We just finished up our all-decade team. So we're going to continue putting out series for you guys for the offseason. And you can find me on Twitter at esorbor1, because my name is Rob Rose, and that is my name backwards.
By the way, if you're going to do the Players to Have a Beer With, you should let me, if I may suggest a guest, to get Matt Harmon on. I know that last week at Super Bowl, he was seen on Radio Row drinking tequila with Emmett Smith. So I don't know, maybe he has some insight into this sort of thing.
Keith.
Oh, there you go. There you go. We can definitely arrange that, and that sounds like a fantastic idea right there. Well, that's going to do it for us, guys. And you can always find us at the Sleeper Wire Show, at Dynasty Wire, at BFTG Pod. Remember, we got the Sleeper Wire Network. We're cranking out stuff all off season. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Marcus, thanks for coming. Rob, thanks for joining us, guys. That
appreciate
was a really
it.
Fun show.
Hells yeah.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. So we will see you guys next week at the same bat time, same bat channel. And you guys have yourselves a good weekend and a great week.